life, and I didn't know that, you know. And I was in a meeting when I was about 3 years sober, and I spoke, you know, about as long as I've spoken tonight, and it was not a speaker meeting. And I called my sponsor when I got home. He had been in the meeting, and I said, "Joe, did I sound self-righteous in that meeting tonight?" And he went, "Oh, Steve," he said, "you're still asking all the wrong questions, man." He says, "because the question isn't, did you sound self-righteous? The question is, were you self-righteous?" He said, "but the truth is, you don't care whether you were self-righteous or not. You're afraid they caught you. You're afraid they think you're self-righteous." He says, "you're not worried about the defect. You're worried about what the defect looks like on you." And how, he said, "so I got good news for you." He said, "Steve, you're not who you think you are. And you are not who they think you are. And you are most especially not who you think they think you are." Now, there's wonderful news in that, because I have spent most of my life taking actions based on what I think you think. How will this look? How will this sound? How will this do? Or not doing things for fear of what you will think. And what he's telling me is, I'm wrong about what you think. I've been aiming at the wrong target all my life. What's most attractive to me today about you is when we bring authentically who we are, when we relax, when I get comfortable. Those people who seem to have a lack of self-consciousness are the people that I'm most attracted to, or the people who are willing to talk about how self-conscious they are, because I'm attracted to the transparency. But the people that I'm not as attracted to, and it's not a conscious decision, I think it's just what happens, are people who are pretending to have their shit together. It's not attractive. I know, I've tried. I'll try again. I'm not done. But man, I know, what if, because when I see that in someone, when I see someone who's willing to relax and just be who they are, and I'm so attracted to that, and I said, I'm going to act like I'm that comfortable too. But I'm afraid it won't work for me, you know? So I'll pretend to be. Anyway, I ran off. I started drinking pretty, you know, heavily, and I started getting in trouble. I mean, my trouble was just drunk stuff trouble, right? I can explain anything that ever happened to me when I was drinking. I was drunk. When I get drunk, I do drunk stuff. It's not even alcohol. Once I'm drunk, my behavior is drunken behavior. It's not alcoholic behavior. You pour a fifth of whiskey in me and a fifth of whiskey in a non-alcoholic, we're both going to be drunk and we're both going to do drunk stuff. But I'm wrecking cars. I totaled six automobiles. I left a bar in Atlanta, Georgia in 1980, I'd been throwing back kamikaze shooters and taking Tylenols all day, taking this barbiturate, and I ended up going east in the westbound lane of the interstate. I hit a car head on, two other cars hit us, it totaled all four cars, it sent people to the hospital, it sent me to jail, the Cobb County Jail. I came to in that Cobb County Jail, I'd urinated on myself and I'd vomited on myself, or, you know, I hope I did, because somebody did. And I prefer to think it's an indignity I inflicted on myself. But and that morning, in all earnestness, that morning in that jail cell, in my own urine, my own vomit, having sent people to the hospital, I was as afraid as I had ever been of the consequences that awaited me legally, professionally, personally. I was as ashamed as I had ever been of the harm I'd caused other people. I did not yet know the extent of the injuries of people, and they turned out not to be life-threatening, but I did get sued over that, and should have. I was as humiliated as I've ever been in my own urine and my own vomit, and I was as certain as I had ever been that I'll never drink again. And 10 days later, I'm riding down the road smoking a joint, drinking a bottle of wine, thinking, you know, I nearly overreacted to that. I nearly stopped drinking. And so I'm so grateful when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous that AA, you gave voice to my alcoholism. You gave me a language to talk about. You would describe something that happened to you, or I would read something in our book, and I would go, that's it.